Right. I thought I'd do a quick talk and suggest that you can learn programming language by setting yourself a goal of doing something. And you can actually choose to do something totally insane in what you might think is impossible, because in many programming languages and in Perl, you can stand on the shoulders of giants. Or as they, which is a fact, I think, on the £2 coin rim. It's a common phrase. And we say in Perl, you know, laziness is a pearl of virtue. And if you want to say it in business speak, you would say leveraging the power of CPAN. Basically, you use code that somebody else has written. So you actually don't write much at all. But it does get you into a programming language, and it allows you to achieve something quite difficult. So here's my example. For those of you who use trains, this is the National Rail Inquiry's live departure board website. And it does not provide, at least it did not when I last checked, provide a machine-readable interface. You have to screen scrape it. So you would have to go in here, download this web page using some tool, parse the HTML, find the bits that refer to your destination, your operator, your time, or whatever it was, and extract it. And it's quite an evil, messy thing to do. Now, you can do this in any programming language you want. Perl, Python, Ruby, it doesn't make any difference. But in this case, the point is, I'm going to use a piece of code somebody else has written to do almost all the work. And the same thing would apply to any programming language. So here we are, one prepared earlier. I type trains, and it spits out on the command line the train, if there's any status information, and where it's going to. That's better? Okay. So there you are, a command line tool that I can run at home in the morning to check whether my train's running. And just before I leave home, to make sure it's going the way back again. The guy who wrote the underlying module actually had this send emails, adjust his time, his alarm clock, and all sorts of other fancy things. But there you are, it's a simple interface. So how do you go about doing the impossible? Well, in Perl, you'd use CPAN. So it's, as of last night when I checked, 253 mirrors. It's been on live for over 10 years. And there's just 4.2 gig of files. That doesn't include all the ones that have been deleted. So if you include all the deleted versions, it's gigantic. 6,000 authors, 12,000 modules, and it's all free. It's also true to say the vast majority of it's rubbish. Right? But there are some fantastic things in there. I think Ruby, they call them gems. I'm not sure what the Python equivalent is, but I'm assuming there is one. what a surprise. So, as far as you're concerned, it's just an FTP interface that's mirrored, which makes it a bit unhelpful. But there are two really good search engines that are designed just to run it, Search CPAN and Kobe Search CPAN. There's an upload service, so if you are creating a module, as I have, you can use a web front end to transfer your file up, unpack it, check it, verify, all the good stuff. And in particularly in the last 2 to 3 years, there's been a whole explosion of websites that rank them, check them, test them, verify them against every conceivable configuration you want. There's a whole bunch of these hanging off, linked into the front-end web interface. So that's the CPAN web page. I wouldn't recommend ever going there unless you actually want to download Perl and build it yourself, because you would normally use a search. Because this is a fairly clunky... scan the directories, download the tarballs, it's not very interesting. But that is where the Perl sources live. But most people would get Perl from their distro just by aptitude install, or the RPM equivalent. This is one of the search engines. This is Kobe. This one runs out of Canada. This one's particularly useful if you're unfortunate enough to be running Windows, because on Windows you probably don't have a compiler. So this nice chap has supplied, in an easy installable way on Windows, the binaries with any compiled C library bit attached for you. So within the Windows Perl community, lots and lots of people use this because it makes life easy. Within the rest of the world, you don't need to bother specifically. It doesn't really add a huge benefit over the more commonly used CPAN search interface. It's fairly straightforward. There's a box, you type some words in that you want to search, and you hit the search button. And it goes off and finds modules that may or may not be of any help. That's pause. Anyone who reads music, I'm told that is the correct notation for a rest. Hence, pause. And this is me. And you can delete files, upload files, check your files. It's not very exciting. But that's how you get them in there. You don't have to do anything on the command line. Just yank your modules. This is very, very useful. It's become much more well-supported in the last few years. This is a module, config trivial, version 0.70. And it's been tested on Solaris, NetBSD, OpenBSD, Linux Solaris, another NetBSD, Solaris Cygwin, a Linux 64-bit, a Linux on an Alpha, OpenBSD, Linux Solaris, blah, 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 blah. And you get a little green bar showing 100% pass. That will build on those 17 randomly selected systems. Some nice person actually downloaded it and built it and tested it. So you know it will actually just install. And you'll see older versions we have failures to install. So this has really expanded in the last 2 to 3 years. There's at least two people who are running so many virtual machines with so many different systems on, you wouldn't believe. I know someone who has his collection. He's got his RS 6000, his VAX. He's got a whole bunch of stuff running in VMs. And he has a machine that just downloads every new module that goes onto CPAN and checks it for build errors. So you now have a nice way to find something that actually might install. There's a more recent version of this fancy tool called CPAN Depth that links this together by saying this one installs on this particular case at 100%, but let's check all the dependencies of that and go down the chain and work out the likelihood of you being able to install from an empty system that module. So there now are tools to help you find the modules that might solve your problems, tell you that the module actually works, have comments, and people have put annotation on, and your reasonable chance of knowing that it's actually going to install. So you now have a nice tool suite to help you find the module which is going to do 99% of the work to allow you to do the impossible. This is a quality site. They have updated the quality characteristics. This is my stuff. And they've now actually added extra checks. So you can even check the quality of the code against some arbitrary tests. Does it have strict? Does it use this? Does it do that? Does it actually even come out of the tarball correctly? So you've now got lots and lots of this kind of ranking, quality assurance, quality improvement information available, which takes out a lot of the historic problem of there are 16 XML parsers, which one do I actually use? RT, resource tracker, you can do tracking. Here there's a bug against this, it's open. All integrated and you can connect against it. So you've got all these fancy web tools and they're fantastic for browsing and reading, but to actually install things, I would use this command line tool. You can search, you can download, you can install. The main thing it does is it resolves dependencies. With the CPAN tool, you would say, install this. It says, aha, you need to install these three things. Should I install them? You say, yes. And it will keep going until it's resolved all the dependencies. It will come unstuck if you require a C library that it needs to compile against, just like any other interpreted language, in which case you will have to, at that point, add the C library. But for most pure Perl-only programs, it will just automatically resolve dependencies and sort it all out for you. It's quite nice. I remember this came out 10 years ago, somewhat earlier than sort of Aptitude and other fancy tools, which everyone has now become used to. So here's the command line. It's rather boring. Sudo cpan, M for module. There's a whole bunch, A for authors, checks. There's the module name, tells you all about it. I wouldn't use this for searching because it's a bit evil, but I would use it for installing. So, you've got a problem, you want to check train times. So you've got the web interface, which will allow you to read documentation, look for errors and problems. Oh, I'm not going to use this, touched it in 2 years. It's got dozens of complaints that it doesn't work. It doesn't install on any system except for a VAX, so I'm just not going to touch it. You can check ratings if it's been rated. And you can download the tarball and just install from there. But, to be honest, I would use CPAN. Once you've decided what you're going to install, because it will do all the automatic resolution, it will install it essentially exactly the same way you would do manually, run all the test suite for you. If you've got the latest version of CPAN, it'll even send a message back to the author saying, I installed this and it didn't work, here's my error report. And once you've got it in, you want to read the man page. all Perl modules should come with documentation, which will automatically be converted to man pages, and you can use the Perl doc tool to read them, and they just look like man pages. So here we go. I'm looking for trains. Stick train in. Oh, look. Dub, dub, dub. Live departure boards. Presents an OO interface to the National Railways Live Departure Boards website. That's a good start. First, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6th hit for train. You should have obviously known that it would have been live departure boards, but you can't know that. Here we've got training your spam assassin filter, obviously another use of train. But sometimes you might have to go more than one page before you find something that looks vaguely like what you want. But I was quite surprised here. Out of 61 hits of the word train, it was number 6. So there's a module. So you click on the module. If the guy's got a picture, it will appear here. Greg doesn't. You can see the version. You can tell it has passed installation on 12 systems and failed on 5. You can check. If you're on one of those 5, it might not work for some reason. And it has a module and some documentation. So you can click on the documentation. And you get a fairly standardized interface, documentation. This is a fairly rough early program. But as they say, patches are always welcome. So, and if you ran PerlDoc after installing it, you would get exactly the same thing. And this is always nicely available. And it tells you in theory how it works, how you're supposed to use it. So, this is, there's just 2 pages of code, will get you the train times. Now, this is not the best module, but it does do quite a lot. Behind it, there are so many things going on, it's quite impressive. So, in Perl, you've got use bin Perl, strict, and I'm going to import the module, live departure boards. And I can say, I want a new object, Basing, based on live departure boards new, pass the station code for BSK. BSK is Basingstoke, apparently in National Rail speak. OVR is Overton. And you have to, unfortunately, look all these up. Although I suspect I'm going to end up submitting a patch to this module so you can put a name in and it will try and figure out what the correct station code is. Because I can see this coming. I have another object here for Overton. And I stick my time. The guts of it are, you say, my creator an array, and you say Basing, so that's the object I've created. Use the method destination OVR, and return the details. So what I'm saying is, I'm going to create an object, which is a departure board object, that starts at Basingstoke, and I want it to go to Overton. And it will get me the details of all the trains. And I don't have to do any of the screen scraping and downloading of the website because that's all encapsulated in this module. I actually used a little routine here, print details, to neatly unwrap that array because this is a fairly crude module, but it does manage, it does most of the work for you, all the heavy lifting. So on the second page, you can see the same thing again. My details, Overton destination, Basingstoke. And then this is with the actual guts. So I'm passing in this object, this a reference to this array. And I'm basically, it's a bit crunky here. You have to also pass it the name. And it simply extracts time, status, and final. So this module is not the best module, but it does 90% of what I want. So I'm going to suggest a package, some modifications to this. So you can simply put in the 2 place names. And it will work everything else out for you and present you a much more readable. At the moment, there are no methods in this particular module that do anything like, oh, just show me time, just show me status. You have to sort of fish it out yourself. And what usually happens is over time, someone will now either modify this or add another module, which would be something like www live departure boards simple. So it'll be a second interface, which will make it even easier. But that's 2 pages of code, which will get you the running time in real time of train. And you're not doing most of the code. The point is, if you use CPAN and there's a chance that there's a module what you want, you don't have to write anything. And I think checking the train times is a reasonable requirement that someone might want to do. So that's the basis of this. And as I said, the guy actually produced his version once. He had a bit of Lego, a USB mouse, and he made an alarm clock using this as the base core, which seems an insanely stupid thing to do, and it's quite complicated. But the total amount of code he had to write was trivial because he used other people's code. And I think that as a beginner, that's the best strategy. Try and use somebody else's code most of the time.